Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I want to start off today by, I'm going to read it out of Acts chapter 1. And we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, finishing up today with the vocal gifts. I call them the communication gifts because that's how I commune with my Father. I'm not teaching these the way probably that anybody's ever heard it. I'm just teaching this coming up from an angle that you can add to what you already know. And so I'm hoping that you'll be studying and reading people's books and listening to messages and studying, because I don't have time to say everything I want to say, okay? But I want this to be a real experience to you. Okay? That's what the Lord wants. That's why He did everything that He did. I want to read you out of Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. We'll start there. Being assembled together with them, this is Jesus, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, "You have heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, "Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Holy Spirit, let me say what I say today with Your power. Jesus said here, He said, "You will be a witness for Me. You're going to receive power to be a witness for Me." Now, does that mean that I'm going to have power to get my Bible and go out and knock on doors and witness and tell people about Jesus? Well, that can be part of it. But I think what He's saying here is something much deeper and much more. I believe he's saying here that you will become a forceful representation of Me in the earth, in your world. That's the people you get around, the people you're with. I believe He's saying here, after this experience, after this happens to you, people will look at you and say, "Wow, something different about them." In Acts 4, when Peter and John were healing and doing things, and it says that the people, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, says they were amazed because they knew they hadn't been trained in the theological schools. They knew that, but they were amazed at the boldness and that they knew they had been with Jesus. Everybody I come in contact with and everybody you come in contact with ought to know by the time we leave that we have been with Jesus. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about an event or an experience. We talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we think that that's just talking in tongues, but I'm not talking about just an event or an experience. Some people say, "Oh yeah, I got that way back then," and no, I'm not talking about that. It's not that. It's a life-changing, transformation. formation. It's something supernatural that comes into our life. And he said, don't leave Jerusalem till you get this. You're going to need this to carry the load. You're going to need this to succeed in life. You're going to need this to have the victory in your life. You're going to need this Holy Spirit to combat the enemy in this natural realm. You see, getting saved gets you ready for heaven. Getting filled with the Holy Spirit gets you ready for the earth. Now, I know some of our young campers got the Holy Spirit the last few weeks, and y'all need to listen to this. You need to pay attention to this. Because I'm not talking about an experience. I'm not talking about an event. Even though it was an experience and it was an event, I'm talking about something that'll change your life forever. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit operating through us. In John 16, he told us, he said that you're going to do the same things that I've done, only you're going to do more than I've done, because I'm going to send a helper back for you. I'm going to send the comforter back for you. Oh, he's going to come with you. He's going to be with you. He's going to be in you. And he's never going to leave you for eternity. He said, he's going to come. He said, I still got a lot of things to say to you, but I can't tell them to you yet. But when the Holy Spirit comes, I'm going to tell them to you. When the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, He's gonna tell you all things. He's going to remind you of everything that I've said. He's going to lead you into all truth. He's gonna guide you. He knows my will. He's gonna show you. He's gonna speak to you. He's gonna tell you what he hears Father and I say. He's gonna give you access to everything Father and I have. And I want you catch this. He says, John baptized with water. Water baptism is important. If you haven't been baptized in water, as soon as the service is over, come on up and we'll baptize you in water. That's important. But he said, you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Something's going to happen in your life. You're going to be immersed in this. You're going to be saturated. You're going to be filled to the brim with my presence. You're going to be so full that it's going to overflow out of you. Acts 2 says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and set on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now we're talking about being immersed, being saturated, being filled to overflowing with this Holy Spirit. See, what happened was there was an explosion took place. I had to do that to wake some of you up in the back there. An explosion took place in their life. Let me ask you something. Where are you at in life today? Do you need an explosion in your life? Do the people around you need to see an explosion somewhere? An explosion. Okay, now I'm talking about the Holy Spirit working through us, and so many times we teach this, and then we teach the gifts of the Spirit, and then we teach all these things separate. But what I've learned is that all this stuff is just perpetual, and it's continuing to happen, and all these things happen together, and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and power, and He flows His gifts through me, and things happen. Okay, we're down to the last three, the vocal gifts. I call them the communication gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:10 says, and to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, which we'll talk about, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, which we'll talk about, and to another one, interpretation of tongues. So let's just talk about tongues. It says different kinds of tongues. Now, I'm not here today to scare you. I'm not here today to talk you into anything. I'm here today to say what the Holy Spirit lays on my heart. Because we got some folks here, you've been filled with the Holy Spirit for years. You speak in this heavenly language. Some of you taught that it was of the devil, and you know, you're in, and it was always something to be afraid of. We got all kinds of backgrounds. There's all kinds of people listening to me on TV. Don't fall out with me. Listen to what I say. If you're listening to this on TV, get all the CDs and listen, and see what the Holy Spirit tells you. But I don't like to say talking in tongues, because to me, this is a personal, this is my most intimate time with the Lord. This isn't an experience. This isn't something I do. This is when I draw close to the Lord. And I'm going to say this. Some of the things I say today, if you feel something rise up in there, seek it. Go after it. Because many of us today are facing things in our life, and we don't have the victory that we know we're supposed to have, and we don't have the extra push to get us over the hump. We don't have that extra touch from God. And what I'm talking about today brings that into our life. Okay, different kinds of tongues. It's the Holy Spirit giving me a supernatural ability to speak in a language that I don't know. Now, that can be a variety of things. It can be in the tongues of the earth, a foreign language, like you could be speaking, you know, we're Americans, I guess, here, and we could start speaking Japanese or something else and not know the language. Now, that's what happened there, on the day of Pentecost. It says that they all heard what these guys were saying and gals were saying. They all heard it in their own language. Does that make sense? So that's what it can be. Personally, I don't think I've ever experienced that. One time when I was in Russia in the mid-90s, I always kept an interpreter close to me, because it seemed like God was always doing something, you know, and I wanted Him to be able to say everything I said. But I found myself once without an interpreter, and these people, they were here, and we were talking, I guess, and I didn't know what to say, because I didn't know Russian. So I thought, well, they don't know English. So I just started talking in tongues. Now, a few of them started smiling after I was gone a little while. So I don't know I'm not saying that really happened. But I've heard stories of missionaries being in different countries and just starting to proclaim the gospel and tell them about Jesus in a language that they didn't know. So I'm talking about the Holy Spirit giving you the ability to speak something you don't know. That's not basically what I'm going to talk about today, but also he gives you a language from heaven. Paul called it in 1 Corinthians 13, he called it the tongues of angels. He said, I'll speak in language, and I'll speak in the tongues of men, and I'll speak in the tongues of angels. Now let me just say something right here. Praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. It's not working up the Spirit and the good feelings and fervor and all that. It's praying in tongues. It's praying in a language, a heavenly language that you don't know. What I'm talking about here today is a personal prayer language. Okay? Now, we have times when messages will be given in public in tongues, and then there's interpretations, and we'll probably talk about it a little bit, but that's what Paul's dealing with. Paul's dealing with a problem here in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, because everybody in the church wanted to get up and give a message in tongues, and nobody could understand what they were saying. Nobody wanted to interpret. They just wanted to give a message because it made them feel spiritual. And so he was dealing with some problems that we don't have here. Okay, but let's dig into some of the things he said and get some truths about this praying in the Spirit, okay? I'm talking about a prayer language, a personal prayer language between me and my Father. I'm talking about something that I control. I can do it anytime I want, 24/7. I can pray in the Spirit. See, we get the idea that praying in the Spirit is God coming down and moving on you and yanking your jaw and making you talk. And, you know, I'll just say this. If God was going to make us do anything, He would make us get saved. Okay? You with me? Don't look at me like a deer in a headlight. Some of you that kind of know what I'm talking about, nod and cheer me on, you know? See, thing, and you don't know what you're saying, though. The Bible says, Paul calls it speaking in mysteries. And I'm going to get to that in a little bit here. Speaking in mysteries, and only God and the Holy Spirit know exactly what I'm praying. So, okay, why use this gift? I mean, what purpose? Just so we can brag on who can talk in tongues, and we can say we got filled with the Holy Ghost, and we have no other evidence in our life that we really did. Now why? Well, Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Are you hearing me now? See, sometimes I don't know how to pray. Sometimes I don't know what to pray. You ever feel the urge? You just want to pray. You just know you're supposed to pray about something, but you know you just say those words. You say words in English just so long, and then they're just shallow, and you're saying them, and they just fall off in front of you, and there's no connection being made. Does that make sense? And so sometimes I don't know how to pray. You call me with a problem, I don't know how to pray for that. I know how to say some words and get us started there, but I don't know how to intercede. I have to have an ability to be able to touch God. This prayer language is how I connect with my Father. So sometimes I don't know how to pray or what to pray. When I find myself that way, that's when I just pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit. So what's happening when I do that? Well, the Holy Spirit has direct access to Father. And so he's praying. So when I pray in tongues also, I'm making a connection there. I want you to see this. I'm making a connection. He knows the will of the Father for what I'm facing. He has the answer. He knows the answer for what I'm facing or what I'm going through or what I'm about to go through. He knows. And so somehow I've got to make a connection. He's praying, so I pray. And when I'm praying in the Spirit and He's praying, we make that connection with the Father. He's able to take me to a place with the Father that I can't get there any other way. See, He allows me to be a part. Huh? He allows me to participate in this thing. And so actually what happens is when I pray in the Spirit, this connects my spirit with God's spirit. Okay? Now, He knows how to pray and He knows what to pray, but I get to be involved with it. You know, now that can help in a lot of situations. What about emergency situations? What about, you know, what about if something's you're about to face something's about to come up, can He let you know ahead of time what's going on? What if I don't know how to handle a situation? I don't know what to do. I don't know. So I just pray in the Spirit, and somehow that connects me and my answers come. I don't want to confuse you here. Sometimes, you know, now I a lot of times I'll text many of you and I'll say I'm praying for you. When I say I'm praying for you, or I've been praying for you, I've been praying in the Spirit for you. Because I don't know what you need. I don't know what's going on. And you don't know how many times I'll call somebody and I'll say, man, I've been praying for you. And they'll say, oh, Hank, you don't know what just happened. Thank you for praying for me. You don't know what I just went through. See, you're able to pray for somebody and God's able to get them that answer even though you don't know up here. Now, I'm talking about praying out of here. See, everything we do, church, everything we do is mind-centered. But what God's trying to get us is spirit-centered. And our spirit and our body, it corresponds, it reacts to our mind. But what's going to happen when we build our spirit up and our mind starts reacting to our spirit? And then our body starts reacting to what the mind said. I'm talking about an intimacy that you can't have any other way. I'm talking about a power. Are you with me? So he can tell us things ahead of time. And the Bible says, Isaiah 28, I believe it's verse 11, somewhere in there, he says, with stammering lips and other tongues, I'll speak to my people. And I'll build them with this, precept upon precept, line upon line. Little by little. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about a relationship that I get in with my Father and He continues to build. He continues to put things in me. He continues to raise me up little by little by little. And then 30 years or 40 years later, I'm going, yeah. The first few years, I thought it was, yeah. It's amazing how the older you get, the more you learn that you didn't really know. So I just tell people, they say, what are you doing? I say, well, I'm just trying to learn what I used to think I knew. We're all products of our own hypocrisy. So anyway, okay, let's real quick then, let's do interpret, because I want to get back to this mystery thing. The secret things. You think your life would be better if He were able to tell you secret things? If He were able to tell you mysteries? We'll get to that in a minute. So that'll keep you from leaving early. What about interpretation of tongues? Now, Paul deals with this over and over in Corinthians here, about in chapter 14. And remember, he was dealing with a problem because people would just stand up and they'd give a message in tongues. And then the next one would stand up and get a message in tongues. And he's telling them over, no, if you're going to do that, pray that somebody gets up and interprets it so somebody will know what they're talking about. Okay? But anyway, the Holy Spirit, interpretation of tongues is just when the Holy Spirit gives you interpretation. Now remember, different kind of tongues you don't know. It's a language you don't know. Okay? But interpretation of tongues and prophecies, that's in English. If you speak English. If you speak Japanese, it's in Japan, in Japanese. Okay? But 1 Corinthians 14:27 and 28, he says, if anyone speaks in tongues, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpretation, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Doesn't say don't talk in tongues. He said, just don't be a fool if nobody's interpreting it. Just sit there and talk in tongues to God. Okay? 1 Corinthians, then back up to 13 and 14, he says, therefore let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What I wanted to hear there was my spirit prays. And what he's saying here is the first has to do with gatherings, like say in here today, maybe in your cell group. You will start having in your cell group. Matter of fact, let me just give you a prophecy. I'm gonna speak on prophecy in just a second here. But in your cell groups, you're gonna have people start getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and all these gifts are gonna begin to operate. And when they do, don't be afraid of them. And don't be afraid you'll do them wrong, because you will. But you will learn. The Holy Spirit will teach you. Does that make sense? See, you don't know how to do it, so it's going to be wrong, okay? But don't be afraid. But it's going to start happening. So just remember, whenever somebody gives a message, then somebody else needs to give an interpretation. Now, how many know it's a lot easier just talk in tongues than it is to give the interpretation? I mean, because you can just talk in tongues and everybody can, you can say it a certain way or have a certain pitch to your voice, and everybody will get goosebumps. But man, when it comes to interpreting, you got to have the goods, because they're going to understand what you say, huh? Interpreting, they're power gifts, and remember this is to pull you closer to God. These vocal gifts, they're to help develop this relationship. I wish I had time to go into all the details, but I don't. But if you're hungry, you'll go after it. You know, if you're really open, if you listen to this kind of stuff with a closed mind, you don't have to worry about it. But if you're really open, see, I was taught, and I told you this a few weeks ago, I was taught that what church background I had, that speaking in tongues was of the devil. Now, if I approached it with that attitude, I would have never experienced it. But I thought, well, you know, I mean, when I got saved, I wasn't the sharpest pencil in the can there, you know. But I thought, you know, is that true? I've been in a lot of places the devil was, and I didn't ever hear anybody speaking in tongues. Daryl, did you ever in a bar or a shooting gallery? I never heard anybody speak in tongues. It was only till I got around church folk. Now, I'm not the smartest guy, but I can figure some stuff out. And the only ones you'll ever hear talking against all this are the ones that never receive. You'll never hear anybody that's been baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You'll never hear any of them talking against it. I mean, if you got two brain cells, they'll bump together every once in a while, you know. Let's get on. So now prophecy. Paul says, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. First Corinthians 14:14, he says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Okay, listen to that. It's when you get a direct word from the Lord, and it's usually to give to somebody else. It's a message that the Lord will give you, literally word by word. Do you ever understand? You ever see how cool that is? God could give me something to say that was going to edify you, build you up. See, now beware of these Old Testament prophecies that come forth. God's going to get you. Sorry. I'm sorry. He's not. You better straighten up. He'll tell you that with a still small voice. He won't let some bell cow stand up and get in your face and point their finger at you, or some old crooked-nosed preacher point their finger at you and correct you. Is that enough on that? It's when he gives you a direct word. Now, an example. A few weeks ago, Patricia just told me about this a while ago. A few weeks ago, Kenny Parker stood up and gave a prophecy, gave a message. And he stood up and then somebody ran to him with a mic. And he so really just the last part came over the mic. But what he said when the mic went to his hand was, he said, I have heard your prayer and I'm speaking to your kids and your grandkids. Patricia had just prayed. Before he stood up, she had just prayed. She said, I don't know why I prayed it. She said, but I just prayed, Lord, would you speak to my kids and my grandkids? A word of prophecy. A word of prophecy. Now, so it's going to be mainly to edify, to exhort, to build you up, to comfort you. And many times it'll be a word that confirms something that the Holy Spirit's already said to you. Does that make sense? And somebody comes to me with a word, and I said this a few weeks ago on the words of wisdom and knowledge, but somebody comes to me with a word, I always receive it gladly. I always open up and look for the possibility. And I always go, all right, God, I'm ready to hear. That's my attitude. But if they say it and it doesn't bear witness with me, then I just kind of set it on a shelf and I keep watching because it might be something I wanted to hear. And I keep watching and waiting. But don't let somebody, God doesn't want a person, not even if he's a pastor, to dictate to your life. That's why he's got the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean sometimes I won't say things that you need to listen to, but it's usually because you haven't listened on your own and God's given you one last chance to hear it. Well, not last chance. You never have a last chance till you die, okay? Anyway, so to speak edification. Now this can happen, can do a lot of things. It can predict future things. What did Jesus say the Holy Spirit would do? He'll tell you things to come. It can predict that. It can future events. They can give somebody counsel, encouragement, confirmation, instruction, and possibly even correction at sometimes. But be careful with that. Because God's not going to use you to correct them. He might say something through you, but it's not something you've thought about. It's not because you know somebody's behavior. You know what they've been doing, so you're going to give them a prophecy. Listen to me. Bible says, Paul said that prophecies must be tested. It's what I was just saying. I say, okay, I believe that's you, God. I always start off that way. But then if it's a prophecy, it comes to pass. Huh? But how will I know if he's a real prophet? Well, when he says something, it comes to pass. If he tells you 8 or 10 things and it doesn't come to pass, quit listening to him. You don't have to, you know, your elevator doesn't have to go all the way to the top floor to figure that one out. Bible tells us there will always be false prophets. And I want to add something. There will always be well-meaning Christians that want to prophesy something into your life out of their imaginations. So test them. Well, 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 21, Paul said, don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies. In other words, don't just go, I'm not that prophet. No, don't despise prophecy, but test them. Test all things and hold fast to that which is good. I've had people give me prophecies, and part of it was on and part of it wasn't. So I didn't get mad at them and try to cast the devil out of them. No, I just took the part that was good and I forgot the part that was bad. Because we're all human. We're all going to make mistakes. But if you're doing it with an honest heart, God's going to make sure that the job gets done and teach you in the process. So first thing, all prophecy must line up with the Word. Huh? He's not gonna tell you to leave your husband or your wife and go find that other gal because you're your soulmates. I'm sorry, he's not gonna do that. That's contrary to the Word. Huh? He's not gonna tell you to go down to the bar and sit and drink with those guys so you can witness to them. I'm sorry. He's not gonna go against his Word. Are you with me? Don't need to whip that one anymore because I got to get to this other stuff here real quick. God said, the Bible says, in the latter days, God will be pouring out His Holy Spirit upon all flesh. And when He does that, He says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. You know what that means? That means some of us are going to be prophesying. Here's the thing, God wants to flow these spirits and use these spirits in all of us. We just need to be available and willing. We just need to say, Father, here I am. I don't really understand all this stuff Pastor's saying, but I want it. I've prayed that most of my life. I don't know if I've ever heard anything that was really deep and understood it. I know some of you did, but I always have to say, God, I don't know what I just heard, but I want to know it. Huh? How does it work in me? How does it work in me? Not how does it work up here, not how does Spooky Wookie do it over in another country. How does it work in here? Make sense? Now let's talk about it. Jesus says, don't leave Jerusalem till you get it. You understand? You see how all these gifts of the Spirit work together? And you might have the word of prophecy working through you, and it might be tangled up with the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. And you might have interpretations, and in the interpretations, you might have these gifts working. And these messages might spark the gifts of healing or the working of miracles. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not a pick. No, God says, I want to just do mighty things through you. Does that make sense? How would it be if you had direction from God in all your decisions? I mean, how would it be if God was working with you and through you in every step you take? Would it be good? Paul says, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. People say, well, that passed away. Is that true? Is that right? Don't tell me that too loud, because I don't know that. So in 1 Corinthians 14, real quick, he starts off and he says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Now, desire these gifts. If you don't want something God has, you don't have to worry about it. And we take this casual, well, God, just do whatever you want to do. No, you got to desire Him. What was that song we sang a while ago? If we go after, the more I go after Him, the more He comes after me. Jesus said, seek Him and you'll find Him. Knock and it'll be open. I mean, go after it. When you want the things of God in your life so bad that you, so much that you won't settle for anything less, something start happening in your life. Not this little tiptoe through the tulip, pansy-amby Christianity that we're trying to pass off. He says you'll receive power. Everybody awake now? I'm almost done. Okay. Desire them. Verse 2 says, for anyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to men but to God. Now listen, we're picking out some little truths about the praying in the Spirit here, okay? Indeed, no one understands Him. He utters mysteries with His Spirit. Okay, so what's He saying here? He's saying desire these spiritual gifts. And then He says when you pray in an unknown tongue, He says you're not talking to men, you're talking to God. He says now nobody understands it. But when you the S here, he says, talks mysteries with His Spirit. That Spirit there is a little S. He's talking about the person. He's talking about me when I talk in prayer language, when I talk in tongues. He says, whenever I do that, I'm not saying to you, you can't understand what I'm saying, but I'm speaking to God. And my spirit is speaking mysteries. You with me? Stay with me for just a minute. Verse 3 says, but everyone who prospers, everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, their encouragement, and their comfort. We read that. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. You remember he's dealing with a problem here that we don't have to deal with here. Okay? He says he edifies himself. So he says, Hank, when you speak in another tongue, you edify yourself. Now that word edify just simply means to instruct. To instruct. So now listen. Bible says a person who prays in tongues, a person who prays in this language that the Holy Spirit is giving and is prompting them to speak through, when that person speaks, when I speak that from my spirit, it edifies me. It teaches me something. It edifies me. It instructs me. Okay, now how does that happen? Well, As I pray, He instructs me with the mysteries that I need to know. Now just catch me for a few sentences here. Okay? He edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church, because the church, if they hear you talk in tongues, they don't know what you're saying. But if you prophesy in English, they do know. He says, so we know that Paul's saying here that when I'm praying in tongues, I edify myself. It means that I'm praying in the Spirit. And as I'm praying in the Spirit, it brings forth an understanding to my mind. Some kind of understanding. If it didn't, I wouldn't be edified. Okay? So as I'm praying in the Spirit, He brings an edification, He brings some instruction, He brings something into my mind. And when He does that, I go, wow. I'm edified. I'm instructed. Stay with me. Verse 14, he says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do?" And he says, "I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind." He says, "I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind." Do you understand? He's talking about speaking in the earthly realm. He's talking about speaking English, but he says, "I'll pray in the spirit." He says, "I'll sing with my mind, and I'll sing with my spirit." The only way you can sing in the spirit is to sing in another language that you don't know. Okay? I've heard people say, wasn't he singing in the Spirit? Because there was a lot of fervor and there was a lot of anointing and there was a lot of stuff. And he's praying in the Spirit. He's singing in the Spirit. No, not unless he was singing in tongues. Now you got to learn the difference. Paul says, I pray with my spirit and I pray with my mind. I pray things I don't know about and I pray things that I do know about. In other words, he's saying, I pray everything I know about, but then my spirit prays everything that I don't know about. Okay? And then on verse 18, he says, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I'd rather speak five words intelligibly to instruct others than to speak 10,000 words in a tongue." You understand the problem he's dealing with. What's he saying? He says, personally, I'm thrilled that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Why would Paul say, I'm so glad that I speak in tongues more than all of you? Because now we know that when we speak in tongues, when we pray in the Spirit, that it brings edification or it brings instruction of the mysteries of God. So how do those mysteries, how do those mysteries get into my spirit? See, we're trying to do everything with our mind. Your mind can't handle it. That's why we've got religion so messed up. That's why we've got 5,000 different denominations and everyone, if you don't belong to them, you're not going to heaven. And how do these mysteries get in my spirit? Remember in verse 2, he basically said that a man's spirit knows his thoughts. My spirit knows my thoughts. And God's spirit knows His thoughts. You with me? So, as God's Spirit is prompting me, my spirit, to pray, remember the Bible says that He helps us in our times of weakness. He intercedes for us. See, we're in the natural realm. We're in the earth realm. And for God to intercede, He has to intercede through us. For Him to intercede to get you to heaven, he had to come into an earthly body. In the Old Testament, before He found Abraham, he says, He's seeking a man so that He can get back into the earth. He wants to intercede, but He wants to intercede through me. He wants me to be part of this process. Why? Because he's daddy, and I'm son, and we're getting to know each other, and we're learning, and he's teaching me, and he's letting me name all the animals. He's letting me do all the things, but he's teaching me. As I'm teaching, as I'm praying, he's praying. You with me? And so we're in the natural realm, and God intercedes. See, James says, you have not because you ask not. And most of the time, we don't know how to ask. But God doesn't intercede for you just by himself. He intercedes with you. Catch this. He's not some outside force that's coming to take care of everything in your life. He's an inside force that came to live with you. That's why he said, don't leave Jerusalem till you get it. So listen, he has to help you know how to pray. The Bible says he prays the perfect will of God, right? So what happens? Catch this. God's Spirit's praying. Now I begin to pray in the Spirit. And now my spirit begins to become one with his. And he begins, you know, through that unction, I mean, you just know when to pray. You just know, and you just start doing it. And so that unction, and his spirit has his thoughts. My spirit has my thoughts. And do you get it? When I'm praying, his spirit, his thoughts are coming through my spirit. Now guess what happens when that happens? Some of them catch. Some of them stay. I might not even know it yet, but I've been praying, and the Holy Spirit's been praying, and he's been funneling that stuff through me, and some of it sticks. And then all of a sudden, something begins to bubble up in my consciousness. Get this. As I'm praying in the Spirit, God begins to bring revelation to me of the mysteries and of the answers that I don't know. He begins to bring the mysteries and the answers of what to do and how to do it. That's so cool. You understand? He downloads from his computer into my computer. Woo! Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Now here's the cool thing about it. Because we can pray in the understanding and God hears prayers and all that. I'm not saying that. There's lots of Christians that don't know this and don't practice this, and God still moves in their life. But here's the deal. In 1 Corinthians 2, it tells us that had the devil known God's plan, he never would have killed Jesus. You remember that? What does that mean? That means then, if the devil knows God's plans for me, if the devil knows my strategies and what's supposed to happen, he can interfere. He can mess it up. God has a plan for you just like he had a plan for Jesus. And if the devil knows it, he'll stop you from ever finding that and from ever being fulfilled. You'll go to heaven, but you'll be the most unfulfilled person when you leave here. And here's the cool thing. Praying in the Spirit allows God to download into the earth realm, the natural realm, download into my spirit his plans without the devil knowing it. You say, well, it's so weird because I don't know what I'm saying. Right, neither does the devil. Huh? See, only your spirit picks up what God's Spirit's flowing through you, but the devil can't pick it up. He can't discern. He just knows what you say and how you act. The devil doesn't read your mind. He throws thoughts in there to get you to respond some way different than Jesus would respond. And then he goes, yep, get them. That's why what we say is important and what we do is important. See, I'm talking about in a warfare, what's your advantage of as a believer? You have the Spirit of God in you. And I'm done. You see, all those strategies, all those supernatural strategies and revelations and knowledge that you need to win in life, you have those. You have access to that. What is this praying in the Spirit? This praying in the Spirit is a way that I can connect with Father. And then He can tell me, see, this is... I'm sure I had something else real good to say there, but let me just finish this. As I'm going through life, I come on situations and I don't know what to do. So I pray in the Spirit. I start doing that. Before I come to service here, I don't know what to say that you're going to need. So I spend several hours before every service praying in the Spirit. And you know, every service people come and say, how did you know that? Oh, you told me just what I needed. Oh, you just... I didn't tell you nothing. The Holy Spirit told you. And as we communicate, this pulls us closer. This gets us involved. See, I'm talking about an intimacy. And I had stories to tell you, but don't got time to tell you. But I can tell you, and maybe I will sometime, I can tell you about business deals that I didn't know what to do. And I'd start praying in the Spirit. And then when I needed it, the answers came. I sit down with a multimillionaire one time. Got an audience with him, and I was wanting to buy this property on East 7th, and I was wanting to buy it, and a guy just walked in and said, I know the guy that owns that. Said, I'll get you a meeting with him. And I went, and he calls me a few days later and says, hey, so and so they'll meet with you. You got to be there at 10 o'clock. And it was 8 o'clock. And on my way to Carthage, I'm going, I don't know what to do. I mean, I got blue jeans on. I'm going in to sit down in this man's office. I just started praying in the Spirit all the way over there. You know, when I got there, I just knew the right things to say, and I just said the right... You know, I ended up owning all the property across from where Walmart is on East 7th now. May City's there. Used to be there. Arnash. I ended up owning that whole... all that property. I just was able to do it. Because the Holy Spirit showed me how to do it. Huh? I just want you to understand the benefits. Okay? And we're done. But a few weeks ago, I fell. I was going down some steps, and I slipped. And I don't fall like I used to. And man, pain seems a lot more intense than it used to. And I was laying there, and when I came to myself, whatever happened, I couldn't move. But I was saying, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. And I started praying in the Spirit. Pam came running out. And I'm praying in the Spirit. I still don't hardly know where I'm at. I don't know what's going on. But I'm praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, something in my spirit said, get to your feet. Get to your feet. I couldn't move. I couldn't get up. And that voice kept saying, get to your feet. Get to your feet. And I told Pastor, help me get up. And I two or three moves, and I didn't move that much. And finally, I got up. And I kept praying in the Spirit. And that voice said, keep walking, don't stop, keep walking. And I started walking, and I put my hand back here, and I started walking around the pool, and I walked for an hour and a half. And as I walked, I felt things in my back getting healed. I felt things going back together. I felt muscles loosening up. Folks, we got access to everything Daddy has. And it's the Holy Spirit that gets us there. Okay? Somebody said, well, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I just don't have my prayer language. Well, okay, but get your prayer language. I'm not going to debate that. But you need that communication so you can have all the weapons and know how to use all the other weapons, all the other gifts. Does that make sense? I promise next week we'll go short and make up for this, but you got to get this. You got to get it. When I was in the 11th Cav in Vietnam, we were headquarters troop. We had the talk tracks with us. That was the communication. We had all the brass would fly in and out, and we communicated with the whole 3rd Division of the 11th Cav. And we had with us tanks and HAL batteries. We had, some of them had shells that big, man. And we had half tracks, and we had every kind of weapon you could think of. But we needed that communication track so that we'd know what to do with those weapons and when to do it. We could shoot them out and we could hit some marks occasionally here and there. And maybe even more than not. But when we had that communication going, we knew exactly what to do. Folks, anybody that'll come, we're going into a place with God that we've only read about people being there. Except he's tired of having just the preacher that stands up front, the miracle worker stands up front. He's tired of just having a few that'll listen. He's ready to have his whole body that functions and those gifts work through us. And he gives them to us as we wills and as we need them so that we can benefit each other. Woo! He's wrapping this thing up. Huh? Everybody stand, because I just got another message. I'm not going to do it. Hey, I love y'all. I don't know of anything I've worked harder on than these gifts of the Spirit. I hope you'll go get the CDs and listen to them and listen to them and listen to them. I'm believing something special to happen in your life. So, well, I don't talk in tongues and I don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. That isn't what this was for. Just desire it. Just desire all God's got for you. And be open about it. Just say, God, if that's for me, I want it. God, I want you to operate these gifts through me. Does that make sense? Everybody in here say something. Jesus, I want to be saved. I ask you to come into my heart. Save me right now. Thank you for saving me. I'm going to live for you. If you didn't know Jesus and you prayed that prayer, come down here. I got some things I want to give you and I want to pray with you. If you're here and you need to be baptized, come on down. We'll baptize you. If you just need one of us to pray with you, come on down and we'll pray with you. Hey, I want you to be blessed. And I'm speaking and believing all these gifts to be working through your life today and through this week. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Say, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Say, I love Hank. I love Hank. Hey, not as many of you said that. Say, I love Hank. I love Hank. Even if he did preach too long. I love you. Be blessed. If you need anything, come on down. Let us pray with you. You be blessed and you have a great week. And I'm believing God to do big things in your life this week. Love you.